Lives of the companions رضي الله عنهم. Lives of the companions رضي الله عنهم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Respected viewers of Madani Channel, we once again welcome you in our program Lives of the Companions. In this program, we talk about Sahaba Ikram's life and legacy, companions of the Prophet رضي الله تعالى عنه. We try to learn from their life, from their seerah. Today, inshallah, we'll be talking about a great personality, Hazrat Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala, and inshallah, be with us from start till end. But before we start, inshallah, let's make few good intentions. My Shaykh Tariqat, Amir of Ahl Sunnah, Hazrat Allama, Mawlana, Muhammad, Ilyas, Attar, Qadri. Damat Barakatuhum Al-Aliyah has given us a beautiful mindset. We should make good intentions before we perform any permissible task or any good deed. And delivering this program, presenting, you are watching this, we all can make good intentions. We should listen with utmost concentration. We should remember what we learn, act upon, and pass this knowledge onto others. You can add as many good intentions as possible, and you can easily multiply the reward. You can ask your family members, children, you can come sit in front of Madani Channel's TV screen and watch this program. End of this program, you will realize how much knowledge you would have increased, inshallah, azza wa jal. Respected viewers, today joins me Waseem Abbas Attari, Muballigh of Dawat Islam. Let's go towards him. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
MashaAllah. Waseem Abbas, how are you doing? You okay?
Alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal. Waseem, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen, ala kulli hal. Today's personality, MashaAllah, Hazrat Salman Farsi radiyallahu ta'ala. What a great personality, subhanAllah. And according to one narration, we know that 250 years of lifespan, he lent, Allahu Akbar, such a great lifespan he lived. And he had done the ziyarah of the Sahabi of Sayyidina Isa, Hawari of Sayyidina Isa. And then he himself was Sahabi Rasul, so the final messenger of Allah, Allahu Akbar. Having such great stature and personality, I'm quite excited to talk about it. And there is so much to learn from. Where are you going to start with?
SubhanAllah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This one by Sayyidina Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu. His entire journey from the faith he was practicing first, and then his search for truth, how he embarked upon that journey, how he found truth, and the difficulties that he had to go through in order to find truth and to remain steadfast upon it. This entire journey of his, all the way till his passing away, is amazing and
so much to learn from
every single perspective of his life when we talk about it. The hardships he bore in order to search for truth.
Right.
The hardships he bore to come and look for the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the signs of whom were told to him by certain hermits, by certain monks. And then when he found the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, up until here is again unimaginable difficulties that he had to go through, but he remained steadfast. And now that he found the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, now his journey begins under the servitude of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, under the slavery of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, under the companionship of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Now this is a total new chapter of his life, again, which is filled with loyalty to the Prophet, with devotion to the Prophet, with determination, steadfastness, perseverance. And throughout his life, which he spent with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and even after the apparent passing of the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and the rank that he attained amongst the other companions, how he spoke about him, how the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam spoke about him, how has he been mentioned in other narrations. This is amazing when we talk about this great personality. Mm-hmm. Now, just to begin with, when we talk about Sayyidina Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu, subhanAllah, Abu Abdullah Salman bin Islam Farsi radiallahu anhu, subhanAllah.
Mm-hmm.
Abu Abdullah was his kunya, Salman was his name. And he kept his lineage name, which normally people keep after their father, but for himself he kept it as Islam.
Okay.
After embracing Islam. So he calls himself Salman bin Islam.
Subhanallah.
SubhanAllah. And then Pharisee is added to his name within association to Faris, to Persia, yeah, the land where he belonged to. So instead of Salman
Farsi, he was from Isfahan, city of Isfahan.
The city of Isfahan in Persia, in Iran. And another excellence that he radiallahu anhu holds is that he was the first one from the region of Persia to have embraced Islam.
Subhanallah.
He is the first one from that region. Now, when we talk about Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu, he was a true devotee of Islam, a true devoted individual of Islam, someone who observed immense amount of patience upon different trials and tests and tribulations that he faced. He was someone who would perform immense amount of worship for the hereafter, who would accumulate many, many actions for the hereafter. He was someone who's known to be extremely wise, extremely intellectual personality. He was someone who was known as very well-versed scholar, not only of the Quran, but also of the previous heavenly revealed scriptures he was known as. Then he was a great devout worshipper. He was someone who hoisted the flag of Islam high, and he was someone who was known to be the Rafiq, the companion of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and amongst the most prominent of the Sahaba of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Rizwan bhai, Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu is that personality for whom paradise itself is desirous of. Subhanallah. Wishing for paradise is one thing, but paradise being desirous of someone, this is again something amazing. And Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu is one of those individuals for whom paradise itself is desirous of. Now, the people of the Tasawwuf, they mention a beautiful point over here, because the tyrannies, the difficulties, the calamities, the hardships which Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu bore in his quest for truth, in his search for truth, this is unbelievable. And the people of the Tasawwuf, mysticism, they mention that bearing hardships and calamities in order to attain the great blessings of Jannah is called the Tasawwuf, is called mysticism. So in other words, we can see that the source of the Tasawwuf is coming from the court of Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu for the sake of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And he radiallahu anhu is that personality from whom we learn many, many amazing lessons and many beautiful madani pearls, including that of the Tasawwuf. And we will inshallah cover other aspects as well. But foremost, when we talk about his determination, his steadfastness, his passion for worship, his passion for loyalty towards the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, all of these, the combination of great qualities, if they are found in one personality, we know that personality as Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu.
Subhanallah, beautiful. Wasim Basbi, there is a beautiful account that is before me, and I would like to share with you some information that Hazrat Ash'as bin Qais,
right,
and Hazrat Jarir bin Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, they came from the Syria,
right,
and Sham, Mulk Sham, from there to Iraq.
Ji.
And they had not seen Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala anhu at that moment.
Right.
Now, they were asking about him, and they reached finally to one of very small kind of tent, and Sayyidina Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala anhu was present there. Right. It is mentioned, Ash'ad bin Qais and Jarir bin Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, they said salam.
Right.
In the court of Sayyidina Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala. He radiallahu anhu replied the salam. And now they asked, are you Salman Farsi? Said, yes, I am Salman. They asked, are you Salman who is Sahabi Rasul, who is companion of the Prophet? Hazrat Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala said, I don't know this, whether I am Sahabi or
Allah,
not.
Look at
Hazrat
the humility.
Hazrat Ash'ad and Hazrat Jarir radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, they got dubious. They went into doubt. And they said to each other, I think he is not the one who we have come to meet with. Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala and said, to whom you want to meet, I am the same one. I have seen Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and I have attained the blessed sharaf and excellence of having the company of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam too. But, right, in reality, in other words, what he actually meant was that actually Sahabi is that who will enter with Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam in Jannah. From his this, he meant that actually companionship, the one who gets of the Jannah of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. That suhbah is what makes someone sahabi. Mm-hmm. So this actually means the actual
companionship. Meaning,
companionship he meant actually. But definitely he was sahabi Rasul. This was his ijz, this was his inkisari, subhanAllah, humility and humbleness. After that, as Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala asked, how did you come to me? And they said, we've come from Sham, and your brother, Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala, we've come from him. And now actually, viewers of Madinah Channel, this point is very important to note. In the time of Mawakhat, in the time Rasulullah alayhi salatu salam, you see, established brotherhood between Sahaba al-Kiram, Rasulullah alayhi salatu salam had made Sayyidina Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu and Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala and as brothers. Right? This brotherhood was established between the both. And they used to have so much respect for each other. And subhanAllah, they used to look after each other. And they were very much united in terms of as brothers. Now when he heard this, Sayyidina Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala straight away said, now bring the gift Allah, my brother has sent for me.
My brother meaning Abu Darda.
Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala. After hearing this, Ashad bin Qais and Sayyidina Jarir bin Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, they were
shocked
to hear this and said, he has not sent any gift for you. He said, whoever comes from him to me, he sends a gift for me, for sure. Now, you should have fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and give the amana which you have got with you. Now, they said, whatever the stuff we have, whatever belongings we possess, so you can take whatever you want, right? You can use them. But Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala and has not sent any gift for you. He said, and they said, he radiallahu ta'ala said, I do not need your mal, your wealth. I'm not of use, because he was very much detached from this dunya. Right? He was known for having the disinterest with the mal and wealth and things of this world. He said, I am not interested in your mal and I don't need that. But just give me the gift which my brother has sent for me. Now he was insisting on this. Now these both guests who had come to see him, they mentioned Qasam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, by Allah, Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala and has not sent any gift for you. When we left, right, from Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala, he had just said that in Iraq, right, there is one sahabi, a rasul, radiallahu ta'ala, that when he used to be present in the court of Mustafa Kareem alayhi salatu wassalam, Rasulullah alayhi salatu wassalam would not have need of any other person at that very moment. Meaning he was enough. That companionship was enough. Rasulullah alayhi salam.
How highly ranked he was.
Allahu Akbar. And Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala and had said, when you see him, give my salam to him.
Allah subhanahu.
Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala and said that this is that gift which I have been talking about and asking for. Allahu Akbar. And what can be the better gift than salam?
SubhanAllah.
Salam SubhanAllah. Is full of blessings and pure. This is what was said by Sayyidina Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala. This is the personality, Allahu Akbar. And from this account, Wasim Basbari, we can learn so many lessons regarding the life and legacy of Sayyidina Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala.
Indeed.
His disinterest with this dunya, right? His love with his brother, right? For and how much love these Sahaba Ikram they used to have between them.
Right?
And they were Raheem and they were kind and compassionate when it came to have that sort of relationship of brotherhood. And subhanAllah, and how much they used to love each other, even they would send salam to each other.
SubhanAllah.
And what would you say about mentioning the fada'il and excellences of salam, and what does Islam talk about? This beautiful greetings what we have got, alhamdulillah,
SubhanAllah.
In Islam.
Please, one way, you see, as you're mentioning this account, and Sayyidina Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu talking about the gift especially mentioning it as a gift. As you mentioned earlier, that from every perspective, we learn amazing lessons. This in its own shows us how important Salam is for us in Islam. And many a times we've been told about the excellences of Salam, the one who gives complete Salam, 10 good deeds, then 20, then 30, who keeps on adding and says the complete Salam and all that. But if the likes of Salman Farsi radiallahu anh are so interested in receiving Salam of someone else, look at the certainty, the assurance of Salman Farsi radiallahu anh regarding Abu Darda radiallahu anh, that because he loves me, we are brothers, he would have sent me a gift. And when you expect a gift from someone who's loved by you, someone who's very, very important for you,
you
expect some a very precious gift, something very special gift. Now he's expecting a gift, right? He's expecting a gift, and in worldly terms, the other companions, they're thinking of worldly possessions. But look at the mindset of Sayyidina Salman Farsi radiallahu anh, that very precious gift, which he was deeming as a gift, was salam from Abu Darda radiallahu
anh, which is actually a dua.
Which is a dua. And this sort of meant so much for him.
Yeah.
And through this dialogue between these companions, there's another point, Rizwan, where Salman Farsi radiallahu anh, we talked about his farsightedness, we talked about his wisdom, his intellectuality. He's also teaching us through this dialogue that how important salam is in Islam, which we take for granted. We hardly say salam nowadays. The culture of salam is almost unfortunately abolished within our communities, within our societies. But this is what we beautifully learn from this account which you mentioned. And from the seerah of Salman Farsi radiallahu anh, this dialogue between the companions, it teaches us, shows us how important salam is. And we should try our utmost best to greet each other with salam.
Inshallah. Respected viewers of Madani Shane, we're talking about Sayyidina Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala. And now it is time to include one segment in our program, and that is Message from a Scholar. Let's include that segment. We'll come back and continue talking about this great personality. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Lives of the companions, radiallahu anhum.
I get complaints of students which I have to forward to my seniors. It's my job. Does it fall under tale-telling? Please guide me.
As in, it is your responsibility that the issues that are created by the students, you have to convey them ahead, since this is an educational institute and students have come to gain education. Now, mentioning their faults is not to mention their shortcomings or flaws. It is for their reform. So there's no element of tale-telling involved over here. There's a difference between tale-telling and backbiting. What is backbiting? Let's listen to its definition. Talking about someone's faults that are present in him, behind his back, as a shortcoming of his, as a flaw in him, is known as backbiting. And tale-telling is telling something of someone to another person, so a conflict rises between them. Conveying something of one person to another person with the intention of causing them harm or creating a dispute or making them fight. Let's say, for example, Zaid mentioned something negative about Bakr, mentioned his shortcoming. Now, the one to whom it was mentioned, the shortcoming, the negativity of Bakr by Zaid, he relays it to Bakr with the intention that a fight, a dispute breaks out between both of them. This is deemed as tale-telling. And in a hadith, it mentions that a tale-teller will not enter paradise. If the end was upon faith, then what will happen is that after one has faced his punishment, after one's been punished for his sins, then he will enter paradise. It is all upon the mercy of Allah. If he forgives without accountability, there's no one to stop him. He may do whatever he wills. Anyhow, tale-telling does entail punishment. One should fear Allah Almighty.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
Lives of the companions, radiallahu anhum.
Thank you, Mr. Permission. We were talking about Sayyidina Salman Farsi, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. I think when we went towards the segment and we were talking about the fada'il, the excellence and benefits, rewards one attains, barakas, blessings when you make salam. Hazrat Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu ta'ala, and he says that the final messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam's blessed tongue, the very first kalam, the very first conversation that he heard, who? Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu ta'ala, and what was that? It was, Ya ayyuhan nas, O people, afshu salam, make salam common, spread salam. وَأَطْعِمُ الطَّعَامُ, feed people, subhanAllah. وَصَلُّوا بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّاسُ نِيَامُ, and offer salah at night when people are sleeping. تَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ بِالسَّلَامُ, if you do these three words, three things, enter three works, peace. Enter in Jannah with peace.
SubhanAllah.
These are the three things which have been specifically mentioned in Hadith. Now we need to spread salam. We need to make this common, and even we know any fellow Muslim brother or not, even we recognize him or not, we should say salam as long as he is our fellow Muslim brother. We should greet our Muslim brothers with salam. And after that, I think we can say, hello, how are you, and how's things, and how's family, and all other questions to inquire about his health and his work and everything. We can ask after, but I think first of all, what should we do is, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. What, I think we need to even learn how to even pronounce salam.
True.
Our level of understanding and knowledge is to that level that even you do not say salam properly.
Indeed.
What would you comment on?
Definitely. Saying salam and reaping his blessings is one thing, but at the same time, you should also know how to pronounce it properly. Very good point you pointed towards, and if we do not know how to do so, we need to start learning it from right where word go.
And you could have heard, Assalamu alaikum. So we do not even know what is the proper word,
true,
how to pronounce it.
In one of the Madani Muzakras, Amir al-Sunnah was talking about the same topic. And he was mentioning, for example, when we say to someone good evening or good morning, it is although permissible. But when we say Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, it encompasses everything. And you know the way Mir al-Sunnah Mashallah explains things. For example, I say to you good evening right now. So what about morning?
Yeah.
Right? I want evening to be good for you, but not morning,
yeah,
or not the next day, or not anything else. Just that very thing I want good for you. Yeah. Just to explain. Yeah. But when you say Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, it encompasses everything.
So this is a comprehensive salam.
Comprehensive salam, comprehensive dua, which encompasses everything. So we should make a habit of saying Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Now coming back to Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala, we've learned this beautiful Madani pearl from the seerah, that he loved this as a gift, and he wanted that what gift has come, and end of the day it was found for salam. And we also learned from a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam an importance of salam and replying salam. There must be any other feature which stands out in the personality of Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala, and would you like to mention from our views?
A hadith I would like to bring forth here, which is mentioned in the eminence of Sayyidina Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu. Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, and this is narrated by Sayyidina Anas radiallahu anhu, that the four people who have excelled, and now the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is mentioning who those four people are. He says, me, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from Arab, Suhaib from Rome, Salman from Faris, from Persia, and Bilal from Abyssinia, radiallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he mentions the list of four people and says that four people have excelled. Mm-hmm. And he alayhi salatu wasalam includes himself first in the list, of course, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, ba'da khuda buzurg tuhi, qissa mukhtasar. But then, subhanAllah, we come to know Sayyidina Suhaib radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu anhu, to be amongst that list as well. So this is again something great regarding Sayyidina Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu. And at the same time, there's another narration where we come to know of the mindset of Sayyidina Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu. And I would like to relate this account when he radiallahu anhu got married and he goes to his wife. Now, there's a long account with everything else that took place, but I would like to mention the last part of the last part of the narration when he goes to his wife. Now, many other people would also get married. There would be different sort of things. But what was the conduct of Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu? He goes to his wife, places his hand on her forehead, and makes the dua of barakah, mm-hmm. of blessings. And he says that whatever I say, would you obey me? And she said, yes, I will obey you. And then he radiallahu anhu said that my Khalil, my friend, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, advised me that when I go to my wife, then I should worship Allah along with her.
Okay.
Now saying this, both of them, both these husband and wife, they get up and they go to the masjid and they start worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they remain engaged in worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the night of their marriage, Rizwan.
Allah.
And they're spending this night in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, both this couple. Look at the mindset of Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu. And then the right of husband and wife, then they fulfilled that later on. But they initially went to the masjid. They spent the night in worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was the mindset of Sayyidina Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu. And it leaves a great legacy for us as well, a great learning curve for us as well, that many people, they would still be waiting to be married. And many people, they would have already been married. Those who have been married, they need to reflect upon their own state, that what was their state. It's never
in simple
late.
Words, in simple words, Rasir Basmi, the point you're making, we can understand through this, that when we are sad, when we have got any grief, any problems, issues, then we tend to do mm-hmm. worship, right? We worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We've got tendency towards the ibadah and remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But unfortunately, when any happy occasion comes, mm-hmm. right, at that moment, most of those people who are inclined towards worship and they seem to be namazi and they offer salah regularly and they are known as kind of practicing Muslims and religious, but even they seem to step back and they miss sure. salah and they do not do the ibadah which is farb. Now look at this, these individuals, subhanAllah. There is a happy occasion rather than doing shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Unfortunately, nowadays people on happy occasions, they sin, right? And they commit sin. Instead, they should be shakir and they should be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has blessed them with this happiness. And this is what we can learn again from Seerah of Sayyidina Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala. This is the time of their marriage and they are thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And subhanAllah, this is a great lesson for
indeed.
All viewers there watching. Indeed, for you, for everyone.
And it's not for, what do we say, no reason that the title that he radiallahu anhu had earned was Salmanul Khair.
Yeah.
Salman the Virtuous. This was his title, Salman al Khair. So he's known as Salman the Virtuous. And other companions, when we talk about them, the likes of the fourth caliph of Islam, Sayyidina Mawla Ali Mushkil Kusha Karram Allahu Ta'ala Wajhul Kareem, who himself is Babul Ilm, whose own excellences have no end to them. When he radiallahu an was asked about Sayyidina Salman Farsi radiallahu an, how does he speak about him? He says that Salman Farsi radiallahu an has the knowledge of the former and the latter knowledge, and whatever he possesses, no one else has that. The likes of Mawla Mushkil Kusha Karram Allahu Ta'ala Wajhul Kareem, they are talking in these words regarding Sayyidina Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu. And then we also come to know that Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu is amongst those companions, amongst those individuals who were included amongst the Ahlul Bayt of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Inshallah, after this second segment, I would request you to shed some light on this, regarding how he radiallahu anhu was included amongst the Ahlul Bayt of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and he attained this dignified rank.
We'll definitely do that, respectfuls of Qadhi Chin. Now it's time to include one segment, and that is Words of Wisdom. Let's take the segment. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Lives of the companions, radiallahu anhum.
Respectfuls, today, inshallah, we'll be learning words of wisdom. The best action accompanying the pious is better than performing good actions, and accompanying evil people is worse than committing sins. Khwaja Gharibi Nawaz Rahmatullahi Ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and ability to understand this piece of great words of wisdom. Ameen, Bijahi, Nabil, Ameen. Muslim Abbas, when we talk about the Sayyidina Salman Farsi, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, before we go towards him being included in Ahlul Bayt, let me shed some light on the personality of Sayyidina Salman Farsi, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, that he had a very long span of life. Okay? It is mentioned that more than 250 years he lived. And Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala is known to be the personality who has done the ziyarah of the Hawari of Sayyidina Isa. Ruhullah ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam. Yeah, ziyarah that he had met. Now, this means that normally a Sahabi is the one who had seen Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. And Tabi'i is the one who had seen or done, had got the suhbah of the Sahabi Rasulullah. Yeah. So in other words, he was the one who had the company of the Hawari of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam. And if we come to know about him, that his forefathers, they were Majusi.
Yeah.
They used to worship fire.
Yeah.
And Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala had also gained knowledge about Majusiyat, right? The fire worshippers, the knowledge of their religion, he had taken that. And he was very much sound in that knowledge also. But then he had disinterest in that religion.
Right? Mm-hmm.
And finally, he left towards the search of peace. For many, many years, it is mentioned that he was searching for the peace, searching for Haqq. Right? And he had met many, many rahibs, right? Monks, we can say. Right? And he had their company and he sought knowledge. When you said that he had knowledge of the earlier and the latter, now, what does that mean? Actually, he had knowledge of the book of the Bible,
right?
Injil, of Sayyidina Isa ala Nabina alayhi salatu wasalam. He had that knowledge also. And finally, Hazrat Salman Farsi radiyallahu ta'ala, and he reached to a monk and a rahib. And at his last moments, it is mentioned, he said to Salman Farsi radiyallahu ta'ala, and that rahib said, according to my knowledge, there is no other rahib, right, who is upon right path,
right,
on the right teachings. And but very soon, the last prophet of Allah will appear, right? Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, that's what he meant. Mm-hmm. Now you go in the blessed company in service of the last messenger of Allah. Mm-hmm. Now when that rahib also told him about Madinatul Nabi Zadahallahu Sharif wa
ta'ala, that's where he will
be. The signs of the last messenger of Allah, right? Whatever the signs were there, he also mentioned. Now, from the Syria, the country, at that time, Mulk al-Sham, the qafilas, they used to come and go, the caravan, they used to go. And Hazrat Salman Farsi, he took part in one of the caravans. He wanted to travel to Medina because he was in search of truth. He was in search of the haqq. And he started his journey towards Medina, subhanAllah. Now, on the way, the people of the caravan, they had a bad intention. And they saw that this person is all alone. There's no one with him. So they sold him.
Jee.
Now they sold him, and that was the time of slavery also. And it is also mentioned that 10 times approximately, right, Sayyidina Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala, and was sold until he reached to Madina to Nabi Zadahallahu Sharwa Azima and started living there. And started waiting for the final messenger of Allah. Arrival of the final messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And finally, it was a beautiful day. And Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala, and he was picking dates from the garden. Allahu Akbar. And he heard that Nabi Akhir al-Zaman, Shahi Kaunu Makkah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, has come from Makkah al-Mukarrama to Maqami Quba, the place of Quba. He has come. And when he heard this, he was amazed to know this news. And Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala and went because the wait was over. And subhanAllah, for the personality, he had traveled all the way down from Persia. And subhanAllah, And now Rasulullah was arriving. He was coming. Allah, Allah. Now the time was over. Shabay Hijr ki sakhtiyan ko usse jaakar puche teri raah takte takte jise subh ho gayi hai. And now, subhanallah, Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala and witnessed all those signs which were told by the monk, by the rahib, and he saw that this is the final messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, for whom everyone was waiting for. And now he recited shahada and subhanallah came in the blessed court of Mustafa Kareem alayhi salatu wasalam, embraced Islam. So this is the account from his search of truth, and eventually subhanallah he got this great blessing that subhanallah he became Sahabi Rasul and he embraced Islam at the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa barik wa sallam.
Subhanallah, amazing to hear this account and his entire journey all the way from where he started from and the disinterest he had in the religion of his forefathers, and then he goes to Syria, and there are several narrations which mention this account with some different...
So there are difficulties, Vasir Abad. Log aasan samajhte hain musalman hona. It's not that easy. You face so many tribulations, trials, tests, difficulties.
And when we're talking about his journey from Persia to the Levant, to Sham, and then from there to Hijaz, to Medina at that time, again, we need to understand the entire account in its contextual background. What traveling at that time actually meant, which we've covered in our other episodes as well. Now, for him to travel all that distance, all those cities, all those countries, and then staying with the hermits, with those monks for a long period of time, and those monks at that time, they were on the right path, and who then guided him, and whenever they would be about to die, they would send him to the next monk. And this way, he went to several monks. And then the last monk told him to go to Hijaz for the Prophet, towards the Prophet.
Because they had read the signs of Rasulullah,
indeed,
the books.
And then, you know, the beautiful, the great coincidence of the caravan passing by there. And look at the last monk who advised Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu to go to Hijaz, to Madinatul Munawwara. Now, look at the coincidence that where he was, the caravans of Arab would travel through that region to go to Medina and Mecca, and those people, they would trade. And this is what the monk told him, that any caravan that is passing by from here to Arab, go with them to Arab. And then he joins them, goes over there, the entire account, how many times it was bought and sold, gets there, and the signs that he was told, he finds them in the Prophet, accepts Islam, and then he becomes Salman al-Khair. All the way from being bought and sold, being a slave and everything, but then he becomes Salman al-Khair. And what great achievements he brought for Islam, they're written in the golden words in the history of Islam.
Subhanallah. And the point you were mentioning about the fazilat and excellence of Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala, and it is mentioned in hadith that Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala was told by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Salmanu minna ahlul bayt.
Allah.
Salman is amongst my ahlul bayt.
Subhanallah.
Fattakhidhu sahiban. Hence, you should get his companionship. Or make him your companion.
Subhanallah.
So this is a great, honor which was given. He was actually not from Ahlul Bayt, but this honor was given by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Included
amongst the Ahlul Bayt. Hazrat Abdul Wahid bil Garami rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi writes that there are three kinds of Ahlul Bayt.
Right.
Number one is Asl Ahlul Bayt.
Right.
Amongst them are Azwaj al-Taharat, blessed wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Awlade Paak, the blessed
offsprings
of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They are Asl Ahle Bayt. And then there is one kind which is called Dakhile Ahle Bayt. There are three Nufus Qudsiyah. Now, who are Dakhile Ahle Bayt? Sayyidina Ali al-Murtada, Hazrat Imam Hassan Paak, Hazrat Imam Hussain radiyallahu anhum. And one kind is known as Lahike Ahle Bayt. They are those people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected and kept clean from all sorts of impurities.
Subhanallah.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them pure and protected them, subhanallah, to the level of the excellent level of taqwa and piety. And likes of Sayyidina Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu, he is not Sayyid, but Subhanallah. He has been included in Ahlul Bayt as a lahiq. Like he has joined Ahlul Bayt radiyallahu ta'ala. And this honor was given to him by none other than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself. Respected viewers of Badin Channel, we are talking about a great personality, Hazrat Salman Farsi radiyallahu ta'ala, who was given this honor to be included in Ahle Bayt. Now it's the time to include one segment. We normally ask questions from each other. Let's include that segment, inshallah. Did you know? Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Lives of the companions radiyallahu
anhum. Basmi, the very first question and very easy question. What is azan?
SubhanAllah. Question is easy, but answer is a bit long.
Please.
Azan is a certain type of announcement that is made in specific words before five salahs so that Muslims may come to masjid in order to be present with congregation in the court of their Lord Almighty.
Wonderful.
And there's one way, what do we call the azan calling person?
Azan calling person is called a mu'adhin.
SubhanAllah.
Jee. For you, what should the one who listens to azan do?
SubhanAllah. This is very important for every single one of us. One who listens to azan should stop saying salam, conversation, all other activities, and even the recitation of the Quran in the honor of azan. As long as the azan continues, he should listen to azan attentively and reply to it. There's one way. What is the admonition, the warning for a person who keeps talking during azan?
Allahu Akbar. One who continues to talk during azan is in danger of having a bad end at the time of death. Ma'adallah azza wa jal. What is iqama?
To utter the words of azan quickly in low voice just before the start of the congregational salah is called iqama or takbir.
MashaAllah. Hope you must have increased your knowledge about these terms which we normally hear but we are unaware of. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and ability to learn more and more. Wasim Al-Azbek, any other outstanding features?
Subhanallah.
Of Sayyidina Salman Farsi.
Sayyidina Salman Farsi, Salman Al-Khair, Salman the Virtuous radiallahu anh, is that companion who was also beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
SubhanAllah.
And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam mentions this himself. It is a hadith of Sunan ibn Majah. Sayyidina Abu Buraydah radiyallahu anhu, he reports from his father that the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah has commanded me to love four people and has informed me he also loves them.
SubhanAllah.
So Allah commands the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam to love four people and Allah also loves them.
SubhanAllah.
Now the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was asked that, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who are they? So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam replied, Ali, Salman, Abu Dharr, and Abu Miqdad.
SubhanAllah.
And then Salman Farsi radiyallahu anhu being amongst those who is loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I think this is final. They can't be anything more superior and more better than this. However, another beautiful hadith where we at the beginning of the episode spoke about that paradise is desirous of Sayyidina Salman Farsi radiyallahu anhu. And then there's another hadith where this is mentioned that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said that paradise yearns for Ali bin Abi Talib, Ammar bin Yasir,
Allah.
Salman Farsi, and Miqdad bin Aswad.
Subhanallah.
Radiallahu anhu.
We yearn to go to Jannah. Allah. Jannah is Mushtaq. Allah.
Subhanallah.
Of such great personalities.
Imagine the rank of Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu, for whom Jannah is yearning.
Yeah.
And what is Jannah? The abode of peace. The abode that has been mentioned in the Quran by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a reward for the believers, for those who obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who are true believers, that is their reward. But paradise itself is yearning for the likes of Salman bin Farsi radiyallahu anhu. Salman al-Khair, subhanallah. What can we say about him?
Masha'Allah. Beautiful. Respected viewers of Madin Chil. This is a program called Lives of the Companions. What a beautiful information, mashallah, ulama, they've written in the books. And we find that fascinating when we read about it. And this gives us motivation to act upon and become better Muslims. And now it's time to include one final segment in our program, that is daily hadith. Let's include that. Come back and continue talking about this great personality. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
lives of the companions, radiyallahu anhum.
Never leave an act of goodness because you think it is minor or it is a small deed. Remember, all good deeds are beneficial for a believer. And in narrations we are told that those small deeds, which we think are small, could actually lead to our salvation. In one hadith which is found in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah Ta'ala will converse with every single one of you, and there'll be no interpreter between Allah and the person. Direct conversation. When a person looks towards his right, he will see what he has done, his deeds, what deeds he did in the dunya. Then when he will look towards his left, again he will see those deeds that he did before. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, then he will look ahead of himself, in front of himself. What will he see? He will see fire before his face. And the parting words, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, hence, safeguard yourself from the fire, even by giving a piece of dry date. Piece of dry date. That piece of dry date could actually come back and lead to your salvation, could actually benefit you greatly in the hereafter. So never belittle a good deed. Do all the good deeds that you can possibly do with this intention that maybe this small deed will lead to me gaining najat, salvation in the divine court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Lives of the companions, radiyallahu anhum.
Respected viewers of Manishan, we heard a beautiful message from this beautiful segment, and today we are talking about Salman Farsi, radiyallahu ta'ala. Nasir al Basri, one feature that stands out about Sayyidina Salman Farsi, radiyallahu ta'ala, and is his disinterest with this dunya, with this wealth of this dunya, love of this dunya, right? He was totally separated from this. Would you shed some light on this?
SubhanAllah, definitely it is one way, a prominent feature of Sayyidina Salman Farsi, radiyallahu anhu. And this can be seen from the perspective of when he was appointed as the leader of over 30,000 Muslims, Allah. And his salary was 5,000 dirhams.
Right.
30,000 people are under him.
Governor of?
Madain, perhaps. And 5,000 dirham is his salary. Now, when we talk about his disinterest in this dunya, look at the state of his disinterest, that despite having such a great grandeur and awe, despite having such a great rank, what he possessed? Only one shawl.
Allah.
Only one shawl he had, that he would wrap around himself when he would deliver a sermon. And when he would be sleeping, he would cover himself with half of the shawl and lay half of the shawl underneath him. This was his state. And not only this, we mentioned earlier that his salary was 5,000 dirhams. Whenever he would receive his salary in his one way, he would spend it all upon the Muslims.
Subhanallah.
He is the leader of the believers. He is the leader of 30,000 people. And his salary is 5,000 dirhams. He receives his salary, spends it all on Muslims. And now, how would he live his life himself? How would he meet his needs? He would make baskets of the leaves of date palms, and he would sell those baskets.
He loved earning with his own hands.
He loved earning with his own hands. And he would feed himself, his family, look after the needs of his family from this very trade of his, this very art of his, where he would make baskets. He is the leader of 30,000 Muslims. He is the governor of an area. He's been given 5,000 dirhams salary, but he receives it, spends it all upon Muslims. Where do we find such kind of mindset from, Rizwan bhai? This was his disinterest in this dunya. If he was someone like us, we would be saving all that in our savings account, keeping everything for us for our generations. Nothing wrong in doing all this through lawful means, but it shows the disinterest they had towards this dunya. And the more disinterest you have towards this dunya, more inclination you have towards akhirah. Towards the hereafter.
The dunya will finish.
It will finish.
Nothing will be left.
And it is not people like me, when we say this, it is just lip service. Mm. But when the likes of Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu, when they heard these narrations from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, they believed in it.
Subhanallah.
They truly believed in it. And practically they proved that they believed in it. At the time of his passing, when We read the accounts at the time of his passing, he would be shedding tears. Sahaba and other awliya, the tabi'een, they would come to him. They would ask him that, why are you crying? You will be meeting the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, the companions alayhi muridwan, at the pond of Kawthar. So why are you crying? And now Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu, he replied that my master, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, instructed us, advised us to stay in this dunya and only accumulate as much as a traveler needs.
Allah.
As much only a traveler needs. And he's crying, saying that I have accumulated so much wealth. Whereas the only thing under his possession at that time was a bowl. Just a bowl which he would use to perform wudu with, this one thing. Some other narrations mention that he had only 10 dirhams of inheritance with him. Some mention 15 dirhams. No narration mentioned more than 20 dirhams.
Allah.
This is what he had with him at the time of his passing, and yet he's crying, remembering the saying of the Prophet ﷺ that live in this world, accumulate only this much, as much a traveler needs to fulfill his needs. And he's saying that I've got so much provisions with me, I've got so much wealth with me. And what does he have? 10 dirham, 14 dirham, 20 dirham, just a bowl?
Subhan.
They practically believed and showed that what true belief is in the sayings of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And then they became beacon of guidance for us. Someone that we look up to. Someone who is true leader of ours. Someone who is true master of ours. Someone who is true role model for us. Who truly acted upon the teachings of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Who went through all those difficulties to find the truth. And then went through more difficulties to stay steadfast upon the truth, and then went through more difficulties to impart that knowledge onto us, for us to learn from. But yet we're so heedless, we don't care.
Allah, Allah. SubhanAllah. Respect you, Yusuf Madani Shail. Beautiful message at the end. And to conclude, I would like to just mention Hazrat Abu Bakhtari, rahmatullahi ta'ala, says that Hazrat Salman Farsi, radiyallahu ta'ala, and had one maid, Kaniz. And once he said to her, offer salah. And she denied. He radiallahu anhu said, a woman, perform even one sajda. And she even denied to perform one sajda. Now, somebody asked that, oh Abu Abdullah, what would benefit even one sajda? But how would one sajda would benefit? He said, if she had performed one sajda, she would have got the granted ability, tawfiq, to offer five daily salahs, had she done that. So respect Yusuf Madani Shail, we should not miss salah, we should love with salah, we should have disinterest with this dunya, we should think more of the hereafter, right? We should not have love of this dunya in our hearts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me the tawfiq to do this to all of us. And subhanallah, we should love sahaba ikram and Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam, and whatever seerah, life and legacy they have left behind, we should follow that. That's all for today. Inshallah, we'll be back next week with another beautiful personality. Keep watching Madani channel. Keep reciting Salat upon Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam.
Lives of the companions radiyallahu anhum. Lives of the companions.